We want to be grateful that God saw fit to let us live through the night, to enjoy the blessings of a beautiful day and be able to come here today to sing and to pray and to study. I'm glad to be with you. I appreciate the confidence you've had in asking me to come to have a small part in this work. Good to see you. I look forward to the week of being with you and studying together. If I can be of any help to you personally while I'm here, you feel free to call upon us. That's why we're here. Good to see all of you. Good to see Brother Rader, who I've known in the past, and others as well. Good to be with you. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about who am I? We had a lady that attended our services some time ago, and I said, "What brings you here?" She said, "I'm just out trying to find myself." I got to thinking about that. Perhaps we have an identity crisis, that we really don't know who we are. As a basis for the study, I'm reading from the book of Exodus in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Exodus 3, 10 and 11. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I?" That's where I get that phrase. Who am I? "That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." I'd like to help us in our short study this morning identify ourselves as to who we are. People around in this city may ask you from time to time, "Well, who are you people? What are you going to tell them?" I'd like to give you some ammunition to help you along that line. First of all, who am I? I am a person who is made in the image of God Almighty in the very beginning. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God created man in his own image. In Genesis 2, 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. Zechariah reported in Zechariah 12:1 that God formeth a spirit within man. Job said the same thing in Job 32 and verse 8. So who am I? I need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh concerning the hope that's within me, said Peter, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We need to be able to answer, as Paul wrote the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 6, with seasoned speech this season with salt. Who am I? Number two, I am the object of God's eternal love. The golden text of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Paul, writing the Romans, said that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you know the rest of that? Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. We need to know, all of us, that we are loved by God. Who am I? What are you going to tell them? We are a Christian. Three times in the Old Testament, God prophesied of the new name. Here they are. Isaiah 56, 5, Isaiah 62, 2, and Isaiah 65, 15, all of those three scriptures in the book of Isaiah are prophecies about that name that God would give his people, a new name, after the Gentiles had seen God's righteousness. Cornelius saw God's righteousness in Acts 10 and 11. Guess what God said in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26? The disciples were called what? Christians. First at Antioch. That's who we are. When Paul preached to Agrippa, you know how Agrippa responded to that? Almost. Almost what? Thou persuadest me to be a what? A Christian. Peter uttered these words in 1 Peter 4:16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf or in this name. So when people ask, who are you? Who are you people? Who am I? I'm a Christian. I'm a part of the Lord. We're on to Him. We're Him, of Him. But again, when people ask, well, who are you? You can point out that I am a child in God's family. That's a great song in the book, God's Family. You sing it here? Great song. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul identified the Lord's house as the church. The word house is used to suggest a family, like Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How'd you get into this family? Born into it. As John discussed with Nicodemus in John 3, the first six verses. Being begotten not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Who are you? I am a child in God's family. But again, somebody might ask, who are you people? Who am I? You may respond by saying, I am a sheep in a flock. When Paul wrote to the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20:28, he said, as he charged the elders to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So we are sheep in God's flock. In John 10, the first 16 verses, Christ is talked about as a sheep shepherd. Also 1 Peter 5 and 4, he's the chief shepherd. But also, when somebody says, well, who are you? Who are you people? What are you going to say? Well, you can simply point out that I'm a soldier in God's army. Does the Bible talk about that? It does. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, where the apostle talked about that very thing. Endure hardness, he says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you doing that, by the way? Who am I? I'm a soldier in the Lord's army, marching on the bloodstained banner of the Lord, His being the captain of our souls. That's who we are. But not only that, you can point out that when somebody said, who are you people? Who am I? You can point out what Jesus said in John 15. I'm a branch on the vine. Remember the Lord talking about that in John 15 when he said, I am the vine and ye are the branches? Folks misuse this passage, as you may be aware of, to teach that all these different religious organizations out there, and there's over 300,000 of them today in the religious world, by the way, 300,000. Think about that. And they say, well, all these branches are just these different churches. You heard that? The context won't allow that. For he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. That's an individual. Except ye abide in me. I am the true vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. Now watch verse 6, it's the kicker. If a man abide not in me. A man. Not the church. A man's not the church. So he's not talking about churches. He's talking about individuals. And so when somebody said, who are you people? You can point out that I'm a branch on the vine. That's who we are. And we need to understand that very simply. But also, when somebody said, well, who are you people? Who am I? Here's something you don't want to say. Never say, well, I'm a church of Christ. There ain't no such thing like that. Pardon the grammar. You're not a church of Christ. There's no way you can be one. You know, the Bible points out in the book of Romans 12 that one member is not the church. More than one member makes it up. There are many members, but one body. So you don't ever say, I'm a church of Christ. And sometimes it gets worse and people say, I'm a church of Christer. Don't say that. That's not who we are. Now, here's how you say it. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And don't be ashamed to say it that way. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18. It's his. And Paul identified it in Romans 16, 16 when he uttered, the churches of Christ salute you. You see, the Bible never talks about a church, but it's always the or the church. That identifies it, narrows it down. Paul said, writing the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, 4 and 5, there's one body. Paul, what is that one body? In Colossians 1, 24, he said, for his body's sake, which is what? The church. And so we need to appreciate the fact that when somebody asks you, don't be ashamed to point out, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. We have some people across the country that's gotten, I think, a little ashamed to mention that, in that they've taken the sign off the building or out front that says the Church of Christ meets here or whatever, and put up a sign, Christians meet here. Or some have even gone so far as to say, this Lincoln Street out here, Lincoln Street Church. If I drive by this street and I see the sign, Lincoln Street Church, I have no idea who you are. Right? Don't ever do that, as some have. The Lord identified his people as members of his body, the church. And we need to understand the value of that. Who am I? When somebody asks you out there, when you're at work, at school, who are you people? You might point out, I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 17, 14. A lot of people don't think the kingdom has yet been set up. It has. The Colossians were in it. Paul said, Colossians 1, 13. And John said he was in it. Revelation 1, 9. And Jesus said when he instituted the Lord's Supper that the Lord's table would be in the kingdom. Remember? And I find the church observing the Lord's Supper in Acts 20 and 7 like we just did a moment ago. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That includes the Lord's Supper. So they must have been the kingdom. So the kingdom has been established. A lot of people don't think it has. It's yet future. It's not future. It's in existence and has been a long, long time. All the prophecies about the kingdom were fulfilled when the church was established. You can take that from Daniel through to the Acts chapter 2 and see that to be a reality. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. You know what he said in the next verse? I give you keys to the kingdom. Listen to this. Kingdom keys fit the church. Church keys fit the kingdom. Hebrews 12, 23 talks about the church of the firstborn ones. Drop down to Hebrews 12, 28, he called it a kingdom. They equate, they're one and the same in many places. Not every time it's mentioned. So who are we? We are citizens in the kingdom of God. Well, somebody might ask you, how did you get to be a citizen in the kingdom of God? Well, very simply. You can just point out, I heard the gospel preached. I believed it. I repented of my sins. God commands it of all men everywhere. I made the good confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. The confession you'll make when you decide to become a Christian. And I was baptized for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38. I was baptized to be in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, baptized in one body. I was baptized to get into Christ, Galatians 3, 27. The only way you can get in. I was baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Because that's where Christ shed his blood in his death. John 19, 33 and 34. And I was added to the church by the Lord himself, Acts 2, 47, before I had time to join anything. That's who I am. By the way, have you done those things? The Bible emphasizes that you need to do those things. in order to be in that one body, the church. Thanks for listening so well. And should you be in this ordinance and you never obey the gospel, you have an opportunity to do so today. Very simple, isn't it? Maybe you've already been baptized, but you become unfaithful and drifted away and want to come back to be restored. You can do that as well. Would you come while we sing?
You've been listening to Sermons from Westwood, a presentation of sermons presented at the Westwood Church of Christ in Tullahoma, Tennessee. If you have a question or comment about this sermon or any other Bible question, you can send an email to comment@westwoodcoc.com. That's comment@westwoodcoc.com. For more sermons like this one, you can find us on iTunes by searching for Sermons from Westwood or visit our website at westwoodcoc.com. Thanks for listening.